Welcome to the New Hope Sermon Podcast. We hope that you will enjoy this message and pray that God will speak to your heart and fill you with His Spirit. For more information about New Hope and to listen to more sermons, go to newhopemcpherson.com.
Father, we thank you for your presence that is here. I pray, Lord, in the coming year that we would find ourselves more mature in the faith, that, Lord, that we would come to the end of this next calendar year, Lord, having grown substantially, having pleased you, Lord, by the way in which we've lived, the way in which we've grown. I pray, Father, that you would help us to open up our hearts now to your word. I pray, Father, we would open up your hearts to the leading and moving of your Holy Spirit in our lives, both in this service as well as in the days to come. May we take you from these walls out into the areas in which we have influence. I pray, Father, that you would place on us a desire to see all human beings one to you, Lord, because you care for all human beings. I pray, Father, that you would place a holy hunger in us that we might grow. Father, we pray, too, that you'd receive this offering. May it be from your heart, Lord. I pray, God, that this church would stay true to its calling to evangelize and to make disciples. We thank you for your presence that's here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, church, and a happy new year to you this morning as we go to God's word. This morning, we've had the opportunity to hear from a missionary whose calling is to a people group that many of us might avoid because perhaps of past events that have taken place and misunderstandings. But she reminded us this morning that all human beings matter to God. A few moments after that, we took communion, and the opportunity to enter into God's presence was presented before us. And my prayer is that many of you took advantage of that opportunity. We are only hours into the new year, and my fear is that in 2017, we may have already found our faith and our desire to follow after the Lord slain by apathy, a lack of desire to move forward, a desire to continue on as things have been, and a recognition that there are a lot of other things that pull our time and attention. And so perhaps when we talk of prayer and further devotion in 2017, already only hours into the new year, that idea, that thought, that drive has already found itself killed on an altar of apathy. I pray that's not the case for you that are here. I'm not going to be long in God's word this morning, but just a few minutes. But today we begin a new series as we're looking at the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11. Prayer is one primary means in which we maintain an intimacy with God, and that should be our life's goal. Intimacy with God, maintaining a vibrant relationship with Him, falling in love with Him such that when we step into His presence and see His face, we've already spent our life living for Him. This past week, I had the opportunity to assist in a homecoming service of a woman who had followed God for many years. For her, she was stepping from this body into the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is our goal, to be with Him, and we fall in love with Him throughout this life. And friend, that's my prayer for you this morning. I hope you've been falling in love with the Lord. Friend, if you've struggled, if you've had trouble in prayer, in devotions, in Bible reading, you're not alone. But the only one that is in control of your schedule is you. The Lord is not going to force Himself upon you. And God forbid that we find ourselves at the close of 2017 at the exact same place, or perhaps worse still, with a more hardened heart toward the things of the Lord, having drifted further away from Him than we are on January 1st, 2017. You and I have the opportunity to do things differently as we look ahead at the calendar year. Of course, at any point in time, we can go before the Lord, any given day in May, any given day in September, it doesn't matter. But there's something about the start of a new year, is there not? Fresh beginnings, fresh opportunities to start again. Probably many of you in this room have already gone out and bought a new calendar for your wall at your office or your home. You put that up, it's right at the very beginning. We're starting fresh today. It's January 1st, 2017. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 11. We're only going to be here for a few minutes as we open up this series on the Lord's Prayer. What are we supposed to do with the Lord's Prayer? It's not recorded in Scripture if the disciples ever asked Jesus to teach on other things. The only thing we find is that they say, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to still the storms, or Lord, teach us to cast demons out, or Lord, teach us to raise people from the dead. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Many people struggle when it comes to prayer. You are not alone, dear friend. So we come to this passage of Scripture, a familiar one in which the Lord shares the Lord's Prayer, and he says this, pray this way. Does that mean anytime we pray anything else that we are sinning if we're not using the Lord's Prayer, if we're not simply repeating the Lord's Prayer? I want to spend some time examining that. Today we're not going to go into the Lord's Prayer. Instead, we're going to look at the parable that follows in Luke chapter 11. Parables are stories designed to teach. There was a very common means of teaching people back in Bible days, but our Lord was a master at it. A full one-third of all the words of the gospel are contained in parables. Anytime you're studying parables, friend, it's important to remember simplest is best when it comes to the meaning. Our Lord was teaching important, very deep truths, if you will, but he's putting them down to a level to where we all can understand it. So when you read the parables, look for the simplest meaning there, because probably that's the case. For example, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus says, go and do likewise. If we try to complicate it and make it some big allegorization to where this means that and this means that and this means that, we miss the point. Go and do likewise. Love one another. And so we come to this parable at the end of the Lord's Prayer. We're going to start in verse 1 today, but we're going to look just a couple of minutes at that parable. Luke chapter 11. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. May God bless the reading of his word. Let your eyes go back up to the top of verse 5 for just a minute. When Jesus begins this parable, he uses a word that's translated in the NIV, suppose. The English really misses it when it comes to the Greek with that one tiny word, because that one tiny word translated suppose means this. Number one, Jesus is using a way in which people back in the day would have called people to have listened. Suppose one of you. And the answer to this is nobody would ever do this, but it's an interest-building thing. He's got people around. He says, suppose one of you, none of us would do what we're getting ready to hear, but it's as though they're all leaning forward to now listen. Suppose one of you has a friend and you go to him at midnight. It's unusual to travel in the late hours of the day now, even with lights and cars and highways that are lined with lights and signs with reflectors all over everything. Even more unusual back in that day and time. It did happen, but it was quite unusual. The houses of the villages would have been very close together. Any knock at anyone's door, everyone would have heard it. It's midnight. And just like when we watch a lot of movies now, it's quiet, somebody knocks, and you cue the dog barking in the background, okay? Are you picturing that? If you knock on a door, the neighbors down the way and the neighbors down the way are going to be hearing what's going on. Interestingly enough, he does not identify himself. He's gone to the house of a friend, someone who would have recognized his voice right away, and he spoke. Now, friend, this is a Middle Eastern culture. We just heard a few minutes ago from a young lady who shares about Middle Eastern culture and the way to reach them. In the Middle Eastern culture, hospitality is huge. Culture demands. It doesn't just say, hey, if you get around to it, go ahead. Culture demands that you be hospitable and show kindness to people who come in, strangers, travelers. She mentioned how people offer her warm clothes. That's the culture of the day. And everybody in that village would have been a part of taking care of this traveler. The man's actions here inside the house are shameful. Absolutely shameful. There is no excuse for the way in which he's behaving. But his friend comes to the door because he needs bread. 3 loaves equal to what you would give to an individual. It was very, very shameful to give somebody a piece of a loaf. This man was ill prepared for his friend to show up. He needs to be hospitable. He then goes to a friend and says, "Hey, can you loan me some bread? I got a friend who's come in. I can't give him the piece of bread we got left over from yesterday. It's stale and it's crumbly and it's broken. I need to give him 3 fresh loaves. If I don't provide for him, it's going to look as though I don't care. If I don't provide for him, it's me that's not showing hospitality. I need your help, friend." In a culture that is so used to hospitality, friend, everyone would have been a part of this. And believe me, people down the street on both sides are now awake and they're hearing the entire exchange that is going on. I've had this friend. He's come in from a journey. Suppose the one inside the door said, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed." Now, moms of young babies, I remember well what it's like when somebody comes to the door and rings the doorbell and you just got Junior to sleep. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You just got your child to sleep. In fact, my wife and I had toyed with the idea of having a switch we could just turn the doorbell off so that if somebody came to the door, it didn't ring because the doorbell rings, the dog barks, everybody's up, we're all up now. And if you finally got your child to sleep, you see, in the Middle Eastern culture, there would have been one great room, and the family would have slept together in that one great room. They would have rolled out a mat. Dad would have been on one side, Mom on the other side, the children in the middle. To get up is not only a hassle, but to get up is probably going to wake everyone else up. Shameful, though. Shameful. Because this man is trading the hassle that it would have been to have gotten up for the lack of hospitality and the talk around the town the next day. When he says, "I can't get up," literally he means, "I won't get up. I'm not going to get you up. Get up and get you what you need." But then he goes on to say, he's not going to get up because of the friendship. He's not going to get up because of the shame that he's going to face the next morning after the rooster crows and everybody in the little village is now all up and they're all whispering amongst themselves about this man on the inside of the door's shameful behavior. It's not for his friendship. It's not for the shameful behavior that he gets up, but only because of the persistence of his friend. And then Jesus goes on to say, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking and it will be open to you." And lest you and I think that the Lord Jesus is somehow comparing the Heavenly Father to this reluctant friend on the other side of the door, he then shares how there is not a father among you when his son asked for a piece of bread would instead give him a scorpion. I shared with you a moment ago, the simplest when it comes to the parables is the way to read them. And many people stumble over this and say, "That's why my prayers are not getting answered. Because there's a reluctant Heavenly Father on the other side of the door that doesn't want to get up." Friend, that's not what Jesus is getting at here. It's a lesson, and I will remind you, it is linked to the Lord's Prayer in persistence. Persistence in prayer. Have you given up praying, friend? I need to confess to you, I'm a bit of a wimp when it comes to prayer. I need to confess to you that I'm not on my knees all the time. I've had quite a hassle at my house of late. I went out and bought my wife one of those Ring doorbells. You know the Ring doorbells that they've been advertising? I went out and bought her one of those, and I've had a horrible time hooking the thing up. Even though they've provided everything, your pastor is not gifted in this manner, okay? And I had to call somebody else in to figure out how I possibly could have rewired the... Anyway, he got it all fixed for me. But I was struggling and struggling and struggling to get the wires right. I went out and even bought another doorbell and tried to do that. It was many weeks. I watched YouTube videos on how to put in a doorbell. There's something wrong with your pastor when you have to watch YouTube videos on installing a doorbell. It doesn't get much more simple than that. But needless to say, I did. It took me weeks and hours, and I struggled, and I many times would put it down and just leave it alone for a little while. My wife says to me, as she often does, "Well, did you pray?" No, I didn't think about praying. I just went out to the toolbox and got my tools and just plunged right in. You see, I don't always turn to prayer. I pray. I'm comfortable praying, but I'm not like one of those people that prays all the time. Max Lucado, in one of his books, refers to them as PGA. You've heard of the PGA Golf, PGA Prayer Giants Association. They're the intercessors. They're the ones that are called, and they're often on their knees. They would rather pray than sleep, and I oftentimes sleep when I'm praying. I find myself, my mind wandering. I find myself struggling to remember why I was started praying to begin with. I made a commitment in my life not to tell you I'm going to pray unless I pray, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've been hours and hours on my knees, because more often than not, friend, that's not the case. I share these things with you because I would imagine there are many of me out there as well. I felt guilty. Here I am, a pastor. I feel guilty because I know other people that pray all the time. I'm at weddings and funerals, and I hear people pray at those things, these gorgeous long prayers. I've never really been capable of that. I've never personally felt comfortable writing out prayers, though I don't have a problem with that. And so oftentimes my prayers are shorter and more to the point, and they're usually not very impressive. There have been times before you that I've prayed and I've stumbled over my words. A lot of people won't pray because they're fear of stumbling over their words. Friend, if that ever happens to you, remember this. You're praying to your daddy. You're not trying to impress anybody. Is anyone here? If you're asked to pray around the Thanksgiving table and you're scared to death about what you're going to say, set down the pencil, set down the piece of paper as you've been privately over in the corner working on what you're going to say. Set all that aside and speak from your heart to your daddy. And don't worry at all what happens. If I stumble over my words before you, there's always an instant where I'm embarrassed for a second, and then I remember I'm talking to daddy. I don't care what you think. Is anyone here? That's the way prayer should be. It's you and me talking to daddy. But friend, we've lost persistence in prayer. One of the reasons why we may not pray very much is because it feels very odd and peculiar in many ways. We're praying to God that we don't see. Our prayers are, where do they go? Some people may struggle with prayer because they don't see an immediate answer. There's a part inside each one of us that wants some kind of if I do this, then I get this, an abracadabra kind of a thing. I don't mean to belittle you. I don't mean to be belittling of me either. It's kind of the way we are. If I'm going to pray, then I expect the answer to come along fairly rapidly. I don't know, vending machines have done this to us. We put in our money, out pops the candy. We put in our money, out pops the pop. I don't know, but that's the way we often do with prayer. I'm going to bow my knees in prayer, and then I'm going to get up, and everything should be the way it is. There's part of us that kind of sees prayer as an abracadabra magic kind of thing, that somehow it's going to be this equals that. Well, it's not always that way, is it? We may struggle with prayer because we just don't understand it. What exactly happens when we pray? Well, friend, there's a lesson here. There's a lesson here in Luke chapter 11 in this parable of the persistent friend. And the Lord's trying to teach us something. It's linked with the Lord's Prayer. And in closing, I'm beginning the series with this. Persistence, friend. Your heavenly Father is not this unkind, shameful friend on the other side of the door. Instead, the Lord's trying to say, how many of you have been so persistent that you refuse to let your friend stay asleep on the other side of the door? When you go to prayer, you knock and keep on knocking. When you ask, you keep on asking. When you seek, you keep on seeking. And yet in our culture, friend, if we don't get one for two or this for that, if it doesn't come about immediately, forget the whole thing. It may work for Billy Graham, it may work for this person, it may work for that person, but it doesn't do much for me. I've tried to pray and I don't seem to get any results. And unfortunately, a primary means of intimacy with our Heavenly Father is now set aside. A chunk of the Christian faith is now laid aside because we have in our mind and heart decided prayer is not that important. It's January 1st, 2017, friend. Have you given up praying? You may not be called to be an intercessor on your knees all the time, but I ask you, Christian brother or sister, do you pray? Do you have a relationship with the Lord through prayer? You may struggle with prayer. You may find it odd and peculiar at times, but do you pray? Would you bow your head with me? Our Father, we pray. We pray right now. We pray right now that your Holy Spirit would look upon all of our hearts. Forgive us, Father, if we've given up on prayer. If we've become discouraged because we're not like intercessors are that seem to always be on their knees. Forgive us, Father, if we've bought into the idea that we're not as good at praying as someone else, therefore we should avoid it. Our Father, the end result is we've cut off communication with you. The enemy is won. Apathy has taken over. Father, I pray for those within the sound of my voice this morning that as we look to your word and its teaching on persistence and tenacity, that at the start of 2017, we would not allow those excuses to rob us of praying. Father, though we may never pray in the same length of time as an intercessor, I pray that we would renew our devotion to prayer because we want to grow in intimacy with you. We want to get closer to you. Father, I pray for any person in this room who might be discouraged. I pray, Father, that they would remember again that you're their daddy. That in Christ Jesus, you have become our heavenly Father. And the reason we bow our head in prayer is because we want to grow closer to you and lift our needs up to you, and you care about those needs. So, Father, at this, the first day of 2017, we ask for another chance. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us to reset our prayer life, to refocus again on its importance, that we might grow in deeper relationship with you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're always welcome to come forward and kneel, friend. Let's stand and close in worship.
Thanks for listening to the New Hope Sermon Podcast. We hope that you have been encouraged and strengthened in your faith through this sermon.